Hello, mysterious friend.
Hello there. So the meeting is present among the reminders, so people should attend. I don't know if they will.
You know that we're early. There's no point in bringing people if it's too early.
Okay.
Hello, mysterious stranger. I think we're alone again.
I'm about to text you. Is it deliberate isolation or just professional
No
negligence?
idea. No idea. Both are possible.
I see more people are joining.
Ah, there we go.
Hello.
Hey, everybody. Does anybody know who's leading this meeting?
Was this a question to us?
It was being led by Cam. My understanding is that Cam is no longer able to participate. I have overlapping meetings often enough that I couldn't commit to being the one to lead it regularly. But perhaps for today, we could at the very least go around and introduce ourselves and have an URSA-focused conversation. I'm happy to leave that today if folks don't mind.
All right. I guess we should start with us saying that we promised that we would have some time and we didn't. This is an unfortunate issue, but there's not much we could have done about that. One of our colleagues has, well, they urgently needed a fire squad, and I'm your personal fire squad. That meant that another project had to be put on hold. There's a coming deadline on that one. And a few people got sick, so yeah. I'm afraid I wasn't able to do what I was planning to do, which was actually introducing instrumentation for error handling inside of URSA.
Nice. Thank you, Alexander. So just by way of introduction, my name is Brent. I don't know the name of the company that I currently work for. It was, as of last month, it was Avast. I think technically right now it's Norton LifeLock, but within a week it's going to be something else, whatever they decide to name it. My official title is crypto engineer. I spend most of my time having nothing to do with crypto engineering. I spend most of my days in standards meetings, specifically verifiable credentials, decentralized identifiers, and such. URSA holds a special place in my heart. It's some of the earliest work that we did at Evernym on anonymous credentials. Eventually found its home here. I would like to see it succeed as a project. And my boss has generously allowed me approximately 1 hour a week toward that goal, which generally means coming to this meeting. Well, that's me. If anybody else wants to say hello or introduce themselves, please unmute and do so.
Yes, let me introduce myself as well. My name is Dmitry. I am a project manager for Iroha 2 team. I work for Seremitsu. So basically, I work closely with Alexander and Victor, who are present now. And practically, I am taking care of all the admin and procedural tasks that may arise during the delivery of whether our own product, which is Iroha, or I'll be helping them to progress further with updating and enhancing URSA.
Thank you, Dmitry.
I guess it's my turn. So I'm Victor, community manager at Tsuramitsu. Sometimes I'm helping with the code and sometimes I'm helping with the communication. By the way, is it all right if I ask a question? Because I'm really interested in one part of our dialogue regarding Ursa.
Oh, I have no problem with you asking questions.
Sure. So Stephen Curran and Michael Loda were discussing Ursa reports, and it seems like Michael will be returning. Are there any news on that part?
Beyond, I mean, I've had a couple of conversations with Mike. He's hoping that his schedule will free up time for him to participate a little bit more fully. I've been encouraging him to participate a little bit more. His comment to Stephen was, you know, news to me that he was actually planning on it. I think it's good news.
So, quoting him, I'm hoping I'll be able to invest more time into Ursa. So, it's not like return and return, but there is hope. So, this was interesting for me. And I decided to ask if there are any news. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Victor. Dan, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm just working with Eric Akapai and other agents, and just thought I'd come check out the Ursa community. That's all.
Are you related to the illustrious Ken?
Yes.
Please say hello to your dad for me then. I'm assuming it's... I can... All right. That was fun. We have currently three open pull requests.
Mm-hmm.
I'll drop a link in chat for those. Just a sec. There. Two of them are quite out of date. Opened by Mike Lauder. With
170 and 192.
So 170 adds a pairings library or suggests adding a pairings library, makes changes to a lot of files as part of the PR. I reviewed it at one point. And then we had a bit of a conversation about exactly how, you know, the module should be hosted. And then Mike kind of went dormant. And so this PR has just sat for a long time since early 2021. So
early 2022, it was updated on March 2nd. Yeah. So there's a few issues which I can think of the top of my head with it. For one, the CI build is failing in any regard. I would not recommend, unless it's a really active repository in which you really know that the code that you're merging is going to be fine. Merging without CI checks is extremely dangerous. This has to be put on ice temporarily, at least, until the CI is fixed or until we verify that the code itself isn't what's causing it to fail. Judging by the fact that the 192's CI checks do pass, I think it's the code that's the problem. So reviewing it will have to, well, basically here's the problem with it. If Michael or Michael Lauder is unable to address those comments very quickly, us reviewing the code would not expedite the process by much. What is a better solution is to establish sort of a collaborative editing process where we are committing direct suggestions which will fix the code into an intermediate repository from which we create another pull request. After the pull request clears the CI, or rather, after we verify that the tests which are run in the CI are passing, we suggest these changes to be pulled into his fork of Ursa, and then proceed with a pull request. It's a little bit long, but it will get his attention, and it will, shall we say, fix the issues. The 203 Ursa core changes are a little bit more problematic, let's just say. At least they're problematic for us. They might not be for some people. But basically, the issue that we're having is the fact that fail is deprecated. And the longer we wait with it active, the more code we add with it active, the more code will need to be changed, so to speak. So might make sense to, well, actually no. It's a relatively small PR. So I don't see much of a problem with merging it. I do think that it needs to be, well, it has two approvals. So, it has had two approvals since August the 4th.
Yep. And at that time, we reached out to CAM because there were merge conflicts. And he has not since then had the time to address them. I just today updated it from main, and we'll see if the checks complete and what these conflicts look like. But if CAM isn't available to address the conflicts himself, from what I can tell, he did not, check the box that allows others to make changes to his PR. So I can't jump in and try to, fix the conflicts. I don't think we have a choice at that point other than to close the PR.
We have one intermediate choice. We could, shall we say, create a separate PR parallel with changes rebased from the pull request that is active. But like I said, it's the same process. They create a PR from X to home. What we do then is we take X, we create another fork on top of X, call it Y. We create a pull request from Y to home. We make sure that the pull request passes all checks and it passes the review. Then when Y is clear to merge, we close from Y to home, we open from Y to X, and then we merge X to home after Y is merged into X. It's a round trip, but if you have lots of people who are extremely busy, a pull request into their own repository is something that shows up in the mailbox. A comment on a pull request into another repository can be filtered out. And most people ignore that, especially if they have lots of other work related to GitHub.
I think that strategy could very well work with Mike's PR. I'm not as confident that it could work with CAM's.
What's the issue?
I can ping Mike and say, hey, Mike, we have a PR on your PR to fix all the merge conflicts and get it up to date, review it, and he'll take the time to do that. I don't have the same confidence that CAM would act.
Okay. Another option is to just rewrite the contents of the PR from ground up. That duplicates work, but it gets the code in.
So I'm not opposed to people doing work. I personally would rather enjoy being someone who had the capacity to participate and contribute. Unfortunately, at this time, I don't. So it's unfair for me to say who's going to do this because I can't raise my hand, but life's unfair. So who's going to do this?
We were planning to work on Ursa. We have to start somewhere, so might as well. But I do have a feeling that it might just pass the CI checks and that's it. So let's not turn this into an issue before it is one.
Okay.
Because, let's be completely honest. What are the odds that the person who created this was too lazy to just run cargo test and do that? And cargo audit is going to be tough to fix. It's actually why we...
Another option moving forward or for moving forward is to close all of these PRs without merging and simply begin the work as has been described and defined.
You're referring to the roadmap that we created?
Yes.
Okay, so should we repeat the roadmap for people present, given that Haas has joined us?
Hi, Hart.
Hey, yeah, sorry, and I have to drop soon, unfortunately, too. I have, triple booked. The roadmap is basically the same as before, right? Are there any substantial changes?
Well, not specifically. It's just a few bullet points. Is refactored from one big library with lots of features into smaller libraries and a wrapping library which combines them.
That's fantastic.
A better error handling library called Miette, which can give very nice looking error reports. If you look it up on DocsRS, it has fantastic looking error messages with good practices as well to explain to the person who's seeing the error what they should do about it. We're in process of moving Iroha to that library. And so far it's been a smooth drop-in replacement. Feature parity with fail, which is the most important thing.
Do you have this written down anywhere? I assume you do. That was a rhetorical question. can you send me the link?
To the...
to whatever you roadmap. Have written down on the roadmap, yeah.
Of course, it's not anywhere in a public space, so to speak, so I'll have to post it somewhere first.
Okay, that'd be great.
That can be okay.
That'd be fantastic.
Okay, good. I'll send it via Discord, right?
Yeah, Discord's great.
Yeah, good.
I do have to drop, unfortunately, but yeah, everyone, if you need me for anything, just mail me. Always happy to talk, always happy to mail. So I apologize for having to drop, but also, is there an Aries meeting or something that conflicts with this time? Brett, do you know?
I am speaking while muted. I do not know. It's possible.
Okay, because Stephen posted in chat that I'd love to join the meeting, but I can't. So maybe we rotate or adjust the meeting time so we can get those guys to attend. I'll reach out and I'll try to start a thread on this if that's okay with everybody. Does that sound good?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. I unfortunately do have to drop, so sorry about that. Thank you all, and let me know if you need anything.
Thanks. Good luck.
Bye bye.
That was a quick in and out. We have some good news. I think 203 is clear to merge. Pass the CI checks. except for a few conflicts, it should be fine. Just doesn't say which are those conflicts.
Right, that is the challenge. I can't just jump in and do it for him. This is the what we've run into with this since August.
I don't quite understand why that's the case with Ursula. Maybe it's the branch protection rules that's causing problems, but the way we have it set up here is as follows. We require a few things to be met, specifically the like almost all big open source projects, we require a rebase rather than a merge workflow. We have a guideline on commits. So what should be a separate commit, which should be just amended into the previous one. And on instant fix ups as well, DCO obviously. And a few things pertaining to that. If you're opening a pull request from a personal fork and you're a new contributor, you should expect to be available for addressing the code review questions, if there are any, and if you don't respond within a month, then we just close the pull request automatically. I would imagine if that was the case with Ursa, there would be no pull requests. But aside from that, there's also another thing which we practice, which is if you are, shall we say, a person who contributes frequently, you're doing these either via feature branches to which you have unprotected access, so anyone else can do those changes if they need to. And if you're using personal forks, which is, as far as I know, the standard within Hyperledger, you are supposed to add, at least the current code owners as collaborators. So if people need to get your pull request in quickly, they can do that. I'm not sure that given what you've said, you can do that with Cam, but you can definitely ask Michael to do that. Do you think that could work?
Yeah, with mics, definitely. I mean, I'm willing to try to reach out to Cam again, but.
We've been trying to do the same thing and since around June. This is actually why we're here. We identified a few cargo audit problems with time, the chrono. And it didn't seem like anything was happening with GitHub, so got a little worried. We got in touch with Brian. He suggested that, well, Ursa doesn't have many people contributing to it. Why don't you do that? The code base is nice, plus contributing to a cryptographic library is something everyone wants on their resume. So, yeah. Decided we tried to help a little.
I think we've gone as far as we can on the PRs today. I'll reach out to Cam once more about 203. See if he's willing to do the merge conflicts. I can also reach out to Mike about his PRs. And with that, I'd like to move to issues, unless folks have concerns about that direction. All right. Posting the link to the issues in the order that I'm going to go through them. What I would like us to focus on as a conversation is, whether the issue was worth keeping open and whether we're going to do anything about it versus whether or not, versus solutioning or trying to solve the issue. So beginning with issue 131, playing around with this library, tried to build in portable mode, compiling according to the directions, cargo fails. Mike responded a couple of years ago, we need to update the documentation. And then gives a command that theoretically would work. No response from the poster. Thoughts, opinions, what, if anything, should we do about this issue?
Update documentation. Also make sure that it works, because this was posted on July 9th of 2020.
Right.
So let's make sure that we have a working solution. That should be easy. Then we should update the documentation and so on.
All right, I'll put a note in the issue. Is there anyone who would be willing to be assigned to this issue to bring it toward completion, which would include testing the posted solution, make sure it works, and then updating the documentation with that solution?
Well, at the very least, I would like to help with the documentation, and I will try to do the tests. Please assign me.
Right. Victor, what is your GitHub handle?
One moment. I'm going to send the link as well.
I have you assigned to the issue.
Yes, correct.
All right, next one. Feature, this is issue 139. Now that we have a C callable library interface, 2 years ago, how about we go a step further with help of Go, CGo to provide a Golang one. I think that this issue is remarkably stale considering that we have an Ursa Go library now, or it's a wrapper. So I'm going to close it with a comment to that effect unless someone feels otherwise. Okay. We'll do that after the meeting, so we don't have to take time now. Next one is number 148. Change log is out of date. As part of CII badging, we do claim to have a change log. Seems we're forgetting to update it. So this is more documentation.
I'd probably add to this, why are you not generating the changelog automatically? So, to some extent, if we are to, shall we say, take over the development, the commits format standard is such that you could generate the changelog based off of just the commit history. There will be an older changelog, which will stay. Just to it, you get appended an extra set of changes. You could also host two changelogs, one for the version before the, I don't want to say hostile, but the change to the commit standard, and the one after, which is automatically generated.
I agree that as a path forward, that sounds fantastic. Is there someone willing to be assigned to that task to make it happen?
I'd like to.
All right, I have assigned you to the issue.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, next issue. As of July 22nd, 2020, this is the roadmap. I would encourage folks to follow that link and see if the list of to-dos there make any sense at all, considering what folks are currently and want to do with the Ursa Library. If folks would like, I can share my screen.
Yes, please.
Problem? All right, Ursa roadmap. As of 2 years ago. Current features. There's some signatures. We have some key exchange. A bit of encryption. And the CKS, which is essentially the Anon Credits code, and some Shamir secret sharing. There is a libzmix library, which is separate from libursa for historical reasons that, in my opinion, are no longer pertinent. But I think we've talked about that, which has BBS Plus, Fungible Sanders, some bulletproofs code, along with some verifiable encryption and delegatable signatures. The to-do list, as of a couple of years ago, includes these things. Adding adept secret sharing, improving the ECDSA according to the RFC, adjusting the BLS curve so that it meets the spec, with a change from the ANCL to the Pairing Plus library, introducing a threshold BLS signature, and then changing to a subcrate model, which is in line with, but probably not exactly the same thing as the roadmap.
No, that's precisely what we wanted to do.
Right. It's been a twinkle in our eyes for a very long time. So literally, when you came to the meeting and said, this is what we want to do, we're not having to bend over backwards to get to agree with, we want that to happen too. It seems a much better architecture. Separation of the CL, RSA, and CKS, as well as some threshold group signatures, some more accumulator work was very interesting at the time. I know that some of that has happened independent of Ursa, and I've actually been talking with Mike to see about getting it into Ursa, but I don't know if that will happen. As well as these are other crypto things happening elsewhere that we thought would be cool to be in Ursa. Privacy pass integrations, different hashing algorithms. These are roughly the subcrates that we had broken things into, along with the compile targets that we wanted to aim for, all of which is, of course, up for further conversation. So as of 2 years ago, this was roughly the roadmap. The question for us today is, does it make sense to keep this issue open with this roadmap, or recognize that we have a similar, more up-to-date roadmap, and perhaps at this point we should just close this issue. Thoughts?
We're referring to which issue specifically?
Issue 133 says, here's our roadmap. Let's do it. I think that there are laudable things on that roadmap, but it is 2 years old. And in light of the conversations we've had more recently, though some of it is pertinent, I don't personally feel like it makes sense to modify this old roadmap. I'd rather just close this issue and say, here's the new roadmap.
I wouldn't go so far as that. I think we can just rearrange the stuff inside of that old roadmap and fix that. Like, one thing that you couldn't have accounted for is the fact that some of the libraries that you relied on were deprecated. Those could just easily be added as a separate bullet point. As for the subgrade model, this is what we want as well. It will simplify everyone's life. It stays. The remainder, zero knowledge proofs, the decoupling, it might happen accidentally in a sense that sometimes if you think about the data flow, you just realize that you have two islands, you were just drawing the line in the wrong place. The improvements, which will need to be implemented eventually, need to be implemented. Otherwise, URSA offers less reliable key exchange signatures, etc. I'm not 100% sure whether they will be our top priority, given that we don't really have that much of a reliance on the reliability of URSA. We needed to be ergonomic first. But it is still possible that it could be assigned to a cryptography student intern to improve. It is quite possible that we will have time to implement it as well. Just maybe not in the near future. Keeping it in a roadmap is fine, just adjusting it slightly so that it's, well, for lack of a better word, adjusting it slightly is what I would do. I wouldn't necessarily close the roadmap and do a new one. The things that are there make perfect sense to me. And the fact that the roadmap has been there for 2 years doesn't matter that much in the grand scheme of things. What matters is that there is progress on it. So both for leaving the issue open.
Okay. Next steps that I see, the roadmap needs to be updated and slightly adjusted. Is there someone willing to be assigned to that task? This issue.
That's the obvious volunteer.
So, will I be assigned? Sure, if so.
No, this is just me.
Got it.
All right, thank you. Next is first of many things that we need to fix. Issue number 167. No, I'll just keep sharing my screen, if that makes sense. while the license file is accurate, each source file is required to start with a license banner. And so this is just one of those things that is a manual task, I think, at this point. Unless anyone knows of an automated way to.
Well, I can add them with Python. It's just copying and pasting, right?
As far as I understand it.
Sure.
So, Victor, are you willing to be assigned to this one?
Yes, yes. Okay. 6R1D.
6R1D.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Excellent. So as far as I understand it, 152 is an issue that outlines a more specific step toward the roadmap and proposes the substructures under the main URSA library. So it would be a top level project. And this is the conversation is this still make sense as a project organizational structure?
As a baseline, yes. I'll be making adjustments. And knowing the start point and referencing it and saying why this is different is actually good for processes as well.
All right, so in addition to adjusting or following adjusting and updating the proposed structure, is there anything that needs to happen before changing the... So here's my question. My understanding is that with this, or with the adjusted vision as a guideline, as the work proceeds to break URSA up into smaller crates, this is essentially listing the crates that we want URSA broken up into. Is that correct?
To an extent, yes.
So as that work happens, this will follow as a natural result. So it wouldn't make sense to just arbitrarily move a bunch of code just to get the structure. We're going to get the structure eventually. Does that make sense?
There's also a few less than obvious problems that might occur. Rust's dependency resolution is a strict directed cyclic, meaning that you can't have cyclic dependencies.
Right.
Sometimes things that you would have considered a single crate, because of a cross-crate coupling, have to be broken down into smaller chunks. In most cases, what you're supposed to be doing is you're supposed to look at the coupling between functions and between features and consider splitting them off into chunks that are as large as they can be without becoming completely monolithic, and which allow you to split off some functionality but still retain the core. So normally what this would result in is having a little bit of extra code. This might affect debug builds, and this might give us a headache because we have a lot of dependencies and all of them are statically linked. But if you're worried about the deploy size, this is completely irrelevant because any realistic deployment will have LTO open and enabled to full fat, probably with translation. I think code gen units set to 1, meaning that it's full fat LTO over the entire library, that where any kind of unused code is being killed. That is the part that's needing adjustment. The third bit that I would recommend focusing on is to consider a gradual split. Because while I agree that giving it a subcrate model is important, what is more important is reducing the feature zoo to something that is more manageable. These features have unintended consequences if they're used in a multi-crate workspace. So if you have URSA enabled with one set of features and you have that's enabled with another set of features. You didn't know how much code you're compiling. In most cases, if you don't have Altair enabled, you can end up with the same library being generated 4 or 5 times. In case of Ursa, this is quite a bit of overhead. It's 100 megabytes each. And those are statically linked to the executable. So if you don't have Altair, you can overflow any GitHub CI action or something like that. So I would say third point would be to reduce the number of features first and then compartmentalize it into crates.
So would that work better as a 2, reduce the feature set?
Perhaps as a 1, actually.
Okay.
Because adjust is going to happen naturally. Reduce feature set. Let's paraphrase it. Reduce conditional compilation.
Yeah, that's a better way of putting it. Okay. All right, good on next steps. Okay.
I'm me.
Right. As far as assignment goes, is this you, Alexander?
Yep. Not your choice.
All right, we have time for at least one more. Dan Middleton is expressing concern about the Bulletproofs module. It does have some problems. And as far as we're aware, no one is currently using it. My last suggestion more than a year ago was maybe label it as experimental, or really introduce the idea of an experimental flag into Ursa. But the real problem with Bulletproofs is that it was rewritten here as a copy of code in Dalek, but is not actually linked to Dalek. And so none of the updates and changes and improvements that are happening there are possible to just easily integrate here. And so it's as it exists, difficult to maintain. And so this on the table is, do we keep Bulletproofs as a capability in Ursa? If so, how do we make sure it is done safely and properly? Love to hear comments from folks on this one.
What about just removing them, as DC Middle suggested?
Totally on the table. Like I said, I don't know of anybody who is using Bulletproofs. The library that exists in Ursa. I know people are using Bulletproofs, but
so my understanding of the issue is as follows. This is code that is basically a rewrite of a popular library, except that library has been updated and our code wasn't. So we'll be held to the same standards, and obvious things that they have fixed and we haven't are going to be considered demerits to us. So it's better to not have a feature than to have it badly. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that we won't have this feature. One thing we could do is it could still be linked, given that the copyright issue and the licensing issue was remedied. If they weren't remedied, then it is possible that people might be able to use both if they need to. But given that at some point we might want to re-implement it, the only condition under which it might be a good idea is if the people who have implemented it have a portion of time that they can dedicate to it. In other words, it is possible that we would be able to maintain it, provided that we were the original office and there's a good reason why it's held under a different license. In which case, why is it part of us and why isn't it a separate crate? Like, if the only difference is that it is like Dalek, except it has a different license. This is the whole point of open source. You can create an alternative which has a different license, like with GTK and Qt. And you can dual license something as well. So if need be, the best solution might be to just contact Dalek and ask them, can you provide it under a different license so that we can use it as well? It's, as far as I know, it's a permissive license anyway.
Yeah, that's my understanding. So the primary difference between Dalek bulletproofs and Ursa bulletproofs is the underlying curve. As far as I understand it, the Dalek bulletproofs is built on top of Ristretto 255. And the bulletproofs in Ursa, I believe, is built on BLS 12381, which is why just, you know, branching or linking to the Dalek library wasn't a solution for bringing bulletproof's capabilities into, you know, the space of BBS plus and the other curves that are, you know, the other, sorry, BBS plus and the other signatures that are built on top of BLS 12381. So that was the original intent, was, hey, we want bulletproofs, we want it to interact with BBS, and that's 12381, so we need bulletproofs on top of 12381. And so Dalek was copied, but with a change of the underlying curve. So that's just a little bit more insight into why this came up in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
To my knowledge, it's still not, nobody's using it. And it is in that nearly unmaintainable state because the original implementer, Lavash, has not been around for a very long time. So with that new information, do folks feel like closing it or removing the bulletproof's code is best, or some other tactic?
Given what you said, another option, given that it's not a complete carbon copy of Dalek, and they might have some use for it, it might actually be a good idea to consider also contributing that different implementation to Dalek. So removing them from Ursa, still in my opinion, is the best course of action for Ursa. An additional action for the benefit of the entire open source ecosystem and Rust libraries specifically, would be to consider taking the code that we've just thrown away and contributing it in a form that is usable inside of Dalek. It is inspired by their work, and, well, assuming that they haven't implemented something like that, it might be useful. If they have the BLS curve family, of course. If they don't, then, well, it might be problematic, but still, having that functionality, either as a separate crate, like Ursa underscore this, and have it be hosted in a completely separate repository, which has completely separate maintainers, possibly not even under Hyperledger supervision, but under the supervision of the person who is willing to maintain it, having it an optional might be the best course of action.
All right. Comment to that effect. This is a bit heavier of an issue to be assigned, but is there anyone who is willing at this point to be assigned to this issue, which would be first and foremost, removing bulletproofs from URSA, and secondarily, looking into the possibility of cleaning that up and contributing it back to the Dalek library.
I'm afraid I'm at capacity at this point. So that's good in mind.
All right, then we will leave this as it is. Thank you all for being here. We haven't had this productive an URSA meeting in a long time. I will do my best to make sure that I am here and make this meeting a priority moving forward, so that we can continue this sort of forward progress. I would also propose that we keep the format of the meeting roughly the same, begin with looking at pull requests, see what we can merge, see what issues we can close as a result, and then continuing to triage and process issues. With that, we're at time. And again, thank you all for being here.
Likewise, thank you.
Thank you for inviting us.
See you guys. Thank you.